The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, pupa Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy. Not sure what the theme was.
Not sure what that is. I'm sweet baby brother, 30 under 30 media luminary Griffin McElroy. Justin, explain yourself immediately.
I am but a pupa that is snuggling into a chrysalis right now and have been so for 36 now some odd years.
Is this a low carb?
Why are you a French pope?
Is this a slow carb thing? Is this like one of the phases of the slow carb? Like you eat a bunch of beans and then you turn those beans into a chrysalis and then you become larval and then I guess you shed some LBs.
He tears up strips of newspaper, smears his bean goo upon them.
Yeah,
to form his house.
It's nothing like the dumb thing you guys said. No, today is Friday. Tomorrow, July 8th, I'm going to go see Mr. James Buffett in concert. And in doing so, I will have completed my development as a person and will emerge, emerge like a butterfly.
We're in a bliss delight situation.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. It sounds like maybe Justin's going to come back, maybe a new character on the next episode of My Brother and Me, which I'm very excited about. Can you tell me how you've been preparing your body? Is there some sort of powder that you apply?
I went through every Hawaiian shirt I owned and all the ones Amazon had to find the perfect one. And I've been re-listening to some tunes to try to pick out some nuance and maybe reading up on some trivia that I can kind of spout during, like, hey, did you know he wrote this one wherever Lauderdale, you know. I haven't read much yet, so there's still time.
Justin, there's not much time. It's tomorrow. You think this is like your capstone project? You think you can just fucking buffalo this one in at the last minute? No.
My question is this: will James Buffett witness me? Will he witness me? Will he sense I am there? Like, and this one goes out to Island Boy or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
back channel this?
That's kind of a crass. It'll work, but I mean, you really want to leverage your limited media power for this one. But the answer is yes, of course you want to.
Yes,
do that.
Obviously.
But, I mean, I think there's also a lot of like tried and true standard options here. You could just try singing along with all the songs louder than anybody else, the loudest.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If you do it loud enough and good enough, they don't tell you this. When we're up on stage doing our jokes, when you do our jokes the loudest and the best out of anybody, we see you. There's recognition there.
If you yell the trivia to James Buffett and you're like, hey, you wrote this one in Key West, he'll be like, thank you for reminding me, Island Boy.
You know how to fly a plane. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do know that. Thank you. Is that Island Boy? I recognize Island Boy? You.
Come up here.
Come up
now
here.
Now you do one.
Island Boy, did you know I was also a restaurateur, right? Yeah, a restaurateur and pilot. Yeah, now, an author.
Now, have you considered, and I hope the answer is no, but I need to know if you've seen all the angles of this thing, rushing the stage and attacking James Buffett.
Now, what would that accomplish? How would that
respect
get me further? How would that get me closer to the goals of my vision board?
Well, he would certainly... I mean, he would definitely know Island Boy.
He would witness me.
Well, he's just been waiting for a challenger. Maybe he's ready to hand over his blown out flip flops.
I'm not endorsing this. Is a bad plan. I'm not endorsing this plan, but it's worked in the past. That's all I'm
suggesting.
Gonna say.
I rush up on stage, I rend my Hawaiian shirt in twain, toss Jimmy Buffett a bat left. Uh-huh. And I battle him for supremacy of, like, Island Lord.
Yeah, you'll lose. You'll def lose. Like,
but maybe he'll, like, Mr. Miyagi, you take you under his wing.
No,
like,
he'll kill you. He'll
I
kill
see
you on
something
stage.
In you.
No, he'll kill you right there on the stage. Okay. How high up can you jump? Because I imagine this stage is going to be 4 or 5 feet up off the ground.
It's at Riverbend in Cincinnati. Travis, I don't know. Have you ever been there?
Oh, okay. No. You're in an amphitheater situation then. So the stage, I believe, is lower and you might be able to jump.
That's great. You could just parachute right down onto that thing, bat left out. And it just really attack Jimmy Buffett.
I want to attack Jimmy Buffett. He has to make the first move.
You really need to pick the right song. What's the best? You're at a Jimmy Buffett concert. What's the best song to get the drop on Jimmy Buffett during? Because, like, if it's something, I think, like, Margaritaville, I think he pretty much, that's just muscle memory at this point. Like, he will definitely see you coming. Is there more of an emotional ballad where he's maybe thinking of, like, a long-lost friend? Where
or maybe one of his new songs?
You're thinking, one one he doesn't know how to play very good yet?
Yeah, it's a new song. He's really nervous about, like, whether the crowd's going to love it, and he doesn't know how to, like, play the instrument good enough, and so he's, like, really focused on that, and then all of a sudden you're behind him with a baseball bat with a bunch of nails in it, and then you do toss him also another baseball bat.
So you're suggesting James rips into something from the third canon, which is what we call songs after, like, 2005. He rips into the third canon, maybe like a Math Sucks or I Will Play for Gumbo.
Sorry, there's one called Math Sucks.
Yeah, it's called Math Sucks.
How much did you
sucks.
Real quick.
It's with a K. By the way, no C, just a K. S-U-K-S.
Perfect. Real quick. How much did you pay for these tickets?
A good amount. Like, not much. We're on the lawn, so we're just kind of kicking it.
All right.
That's how it should be. I would be amazed if anybody actually bought, like, the actual seats. To see, like, everyone's just like, oh, there's lawn. I can just sit on grass? Yes, please.
That's the vibe right there. Who wants to sit in a chair? That's fine. You know, you could pay for the chair, but you're not going to need it. once he tears into the some of his first canon hits.
You'll also be too stoned to sit down. Yeah. You won't remember how to do it.
And that's a bad place to be, because that leaves you very few options. So anyway, have you considered, if you do powder yourself up just right and you get he witnesses you, however you decide to do it, what you might do, because you're going with your family, I imagine, right? This is a family experience. What if he wants to kiss and make love to you? Because he, like...
there's plenty of hours in the day. I'll make him take me to the plane first and let me fly it a little bit. Like,
okay.
You know, wind me, dine me, Jim.
Just so anyway. You know, it's real.
It's, listen, that's, I'll report back next week. I was actually trying to engineer a way that I could record an episode at the concert. Mm-hmm. I couldn't come up with anything substantial, though.
You realize how shitty that would be for me and Travis, though?
Oh, the worst. My idea was, like, I would barely pay attention to what you guys were saying and just check in every few minutes.
Yeah,
like a live correspondent while you guys kind of held down the fort. But I really want to, this isn't about work. And you know what? In a way... It's not even about me, this concert. It's about James and him connecting with his fans. He's getting up in years, and any tour could be the last one before he retires. And I'm sure he's been saying that forever, but, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to finally go see Jim live.
Please let us know how it goes.
Oh, well. Here's our first question. Hey, Mabim Bam. About 2 months ago, I got pulled over during my driver's test for pulling out in front of... You got pulled over during your driver's test?
That's a bad beat.
Woof. Ouch. I normally don't drive this poorly, but the cop who was giving the test made me nervous. How do I stay chill?
Why they got pulled over. Everyone's going to be like, what?
How do I stay chill next time I take it? Wait a minute.
Okay. I think the cop that was giving the test, I think, made them stop the test because they pulled out in front of
Sorry,
okay.
Are there places where cops give driving tests?
That's terrifying. Nightmare. That's a fucking nightmare. Are you kidding me?
You pulled out in front of traffic doing a left turn, not a protected left turn. There's people honking, which is just terrifying. And there's a cop there just going like, nope.
The cop like, it looks like you pulled out in front of traffic. Also, is that weed I smell on you from 2 years ago? That's right.
Never mind the barking dog in the back.
Yeah. That's fucking terrifying. I like, oh man, I don't know that I could recover from this. I don't know how to is packing your bags and moving to a state where you can just like take a test from just like some fucking who usually administers these tests, big fucking old nerd. is like, well, looks like you didn't hit the brakes a little bit fast enough, but that's okay, because I'm afraid of you, and so here's your license. And not a cop, and then you can move back to Arkansas, I suppose.
Can you try to drive past a crime? So the cop is like, hold on.
Okay.
Pull over, partner. And he tosses you a shotgun, and it's like, let's get this done. Yes. You've got to stop this crime. And then also, afterwards,
he's the Rock.
And, yes, he's the Rock, and this is the rundown, too. And also, like, after that, there's no way he's going to fail you. No way. No, no way. You've been through some shit together.
Oh. Okay, wait. You got to marry the two situations. The next time
marry
this
the
happens,
cop. Marry the
you got
to
marry
right
the
there.
Cop. If you pull out in front of traffic, right, you make another infraction, and he's like, ooh, that's an infraction. You say, no, I saw that person in that car was doing something bad. They were going to go murder someone, and I had to stop them. Whoa. So what seemed like an infraction was actually me doing like a citizen's driving maneuver to yes. stop a future crime.
It was a citizen's wreck.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I had to do it. I had I had a fucking premonition, okay? Get off my case.
Are you biased against psychics? Here's one you could try.
Psych could talk his way out of this, by the way.
Psych could do anything.
Psych could talk his way out of
this. With the help of his best friend, Dulé Hill.
So could Monk, and also White Collar. Characters welcome.
Is there ever a crossover episode between Psych and Monk? And maybe
gotta
White
be,
Collar pops out at the end?
Gotta be.
Oh, God, I want that so bad now. Please, please bring it back. Now. Make the Psych movie. Bring Monk back. Bring him all back. Burn Notice is there.
At the end, yeah, they try to solve the crime. They're like, we need one more hand. Then Burn Notice shows up. What's up on Burn Notice? Characters welcome.
See you guys over on Royal Pains. That's a different. Royal Pains is there.
Could you tell, like, I think the problem that you're having here is the pressure to succeed. You need to find a way to release that. So I would say start going to these driving tests, deciding to fail. And when you get into the car, tell the cop, hey, this run, this is a burner test. I ain't going to pass this one. Hang on.
I've already got a second appointment scheduled.
Yeah. This is a confidence booster. I'm really going to explore the space out there.
And then you pop in your headphones, you play some music, Baby Driver this shit, which I still haven't seen, but I assume this is what happens.
Those all seem like good options. I'm glad we could help so much.
Or just like when you fuck up, just look at him and go, Pobody's nervic, and go for a high five. And like he'll be like, oh, you know you fucked up, but that's really charming. Okay, you're fine.
You're fine. You still failed.
I have a Yahoo here.
But I like
it. It was sent in by a couple people. Level 9000 Yadru, Drew Davenport, and Nick Potter. Thank you. Thank you both. It's from Yadru Answers user. Questions lost in time.
Ooh.
The question is, true or false? You have fully explored your entire body at least once.
Ooh. I will say, can I just say right off the bat?
Really think about it.
No, I'm just going to say just format of the question. I'd like a Yahoo answer that's like, listen, you only got two answers. You don't got to get eloquent here. This is a yes or no, true or false question.
But it really makes you confront, like, this is my body.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Obviously, we've been through a lot together. Swimming, walking, scrubbing it in the shower. But is there parts of it? I just don't know about.
It's like when you're out in the woods and you're like, you know, you think like this square foot of land I'm standing on, has any human ever stood here before?
Yeah.
You know, has anyone walked, has a foot trod this mountain, or am I the first? And I think about that every time I touch the back of my knee. Have I touched this inch of my body?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I have. I'm thinking there's probably untread ground somewhere.
There, my body is like an urban area. By and large, there's a lot of culture and exciting development.
Yeah.
But there are some places in town that you just don't go. There's some places in my body I'm just not good. Forget places. There's angles of my body. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that one's for me.
Mine has a lot of sprawl.
Let me say this. There's parts of my body that are so mysterious that Roman Mars has done an episode about them. Like it's pretty well hidden from the it's like it's at least 75% invisible. I would say that. It's rough
it's
up in there.
It's up there. I just think about it.
Hey, here's something weird. You guys ever think, I was thinking about this yesterday, that there's organs in your body that you won't see, but like you've been carrying them with you forever, but like you will never see your heart or whatever, like maybe through x-rays or MRIs or whatever, but like you've just been hauling those things around with you and they could be weird or cool. And you just don't know. They're just kind of along for the ride with you, forever locked away.
This is a thing I've thought about before, Justin, where like I've never had any kind of like open my body surgery. I've never had any surgery. And I thought like, what if they were to cut me open at like 45 and be like, what is that? Yeah. And I just like I'm like an X-Man.
Dude, your liver's all weird.
Oh, which man. Is like I've got a whole nother organ in there that they've like never seen. It's just like, well, this is new.
Guys, he's got stomach too. The sequel to Stomach.
This is why you could eat all those bagel sandwiches.
That makes sense. It's like a cow stomach in here.
It's a lot of chambers.
I could have a perfect liver. I might have
never know.
The perfect liver, and I'd never know.
I don't know. You like Tennessee a lot.
That's true. No, I mean, not anymore. Mm. The slow carb is just, it's not compatible with pounding the Hennessy every night.
Now, Justin, I'm pretty sure at this point, as long as you've been doing slow carb, if you ever did have some sort of surgery, it would just sort of be like a beanbag situation. Just like a lot of pintos would just come just spilling out of you. I hear the pintos shuffling around when you walk. I'm just saying.
It's gotten a little distracting for sure.
A little bit. It's sort of a maraca situation.
Are there parts of your body you haven't
listen,
explored?
We're all thinking about it. We're all dancing around it. But there's probably a part of the...
I mean, the taint, like right?
The,
I mean,
the taint, the gooch for region, the back about of the taint. It. Everybody's thinking about
it. Here's something kind of fun. I would be willing to bet $100 that 100% of the people listening to this episode have, in the past 3 minutes, visualized their own taint. Mm-hmm. And they have probably thought about the last taint experience that they had, and they're all visualizing their own taint. If you visualized your own taint in the past 3 minutes, please tweet, I just visualized my own taint, hashtag MBMBAM. If you want to throw a link to the iTunes page, well, that's all the better.
This will also be fun because we also often get questions about this. If you're like in like a public setting, maybe like on the subway, or you're just like walking down the street right now, if you visualize your own taint, just raise your hand. And if you see someone else like, oh, they raised their hand for no reason, just walking down the street, you'll know.
That's how they'll know.
Yeah, you'll know like, oh, okay, you're listening to my brother and me right now. And you thought about your taint. Cool. And maybe high five them.
And not only visualized it, thought about your history with it.
For sure.
Have I been all over that? Have I Magellaned my taint?
Thought about the intricate setup of mirrors you once did.
It's gotta be. You know what? No. I've seen everything my body has to offer. Next question.
I picked up a pair of jeans one day and couldn't remember where I had bought them, but they quickly became my favorite pair of jeans. After wearing them a few times, it hit me that there's a chance they are my roommates, and they ended up in my laundry by accident. She hasn't said anything, and there's a chance I just forgot I bought them. I checked, and we don't wear the same size, but I also know that those are just justifications I'm using to avoid possibly having to give up my favorite pair of jeans. What should I do? That's from Potential Denim Deviant.
You're good.
You're fine.
I really don't know what else to say. It's those good traveling jeans. Pants. Roommate doesn't care. It's not even the same size. You're good.
Traveling pants is the way to go, though, Trav. If you are ever caught. Like, I thought we were in the sisterhood together, and they may travel back to you at some point if I get some cheese stains on them. But right now, they've wandered long enough and they found respite and shelter, and we got to let them embrace that.
This is something I wish you could do with a roommate, which is like if I'm traveling to Italy to go to a friend's wedding, and it's going to be a difficult time for me. So I stole some of your fucking pants because these are my traveling jeans. I think that's what that movie, I think that's how it starts.
And this is our traveling wallet that I stole from you to help me pay for the trip.
Sisterhood of the traveling identity.
A traveling social security number. What's the problem?
Listen, I'm going to a wedding. It's going to be tough. I bought a bunch of shit with your Amazon account. I had to deliver to my dad's place.
They're fine, right? Like, this is an easy one.
But I also think that there's a third more mysterious possibility here of, like, you don't remember buying them, but they're not your roommate's size. So, like, there is a third option that it's neither yours nor your roommate's, and, like, where the fuck did they come from?
Sentient alien pretending to be jeans to get the touch butts.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Justin. These fucking perverts. I'm so sick of these genomorphs.
Thank you. And thank you, Philip K. Dick, for giving aliens the idea to do that. Yeah, one of your
I want to go ahead and
stories.
Give Griffin a bit of a moment here.
I was
because
about
usually,
to say, come
usually
on.
It's mine, but Griffin did just say genomorph, and, like, I really want to hang a lantern on that.
Nothing.
I've been there, Griffin. I know how that feels.
I know, Travin. It felt bad. I'm sorry I do that to you so often. You put up pearls before swine so frequently, and it just felt so shitty.
Yeah, no, that was genomorph was great.
And don't get me wrong, I'm gonna keep doing it to you, but like moment, it just like is weird.
No, when you got a rhythm like we have, it's okay if you shit on me from time to time. By the way, Genomorph is a really great roller derby name if anyone wants to use that and be kind of like alien themed.
I mean, I've already TM'd it, so.
Oh, well, never mind.
How about another question?
Yeah. I recently discovered that my brother eats toaster waffles weird. Instead of eating both waffles separately with some kind of spreadable foodstuff or syrup, he immediately takes the waffles after they've popped out from the toaster and eats them without any accompanying butter, jam, marmalade, etc. Furthermore, he holds them together as if they're sandwich slices without any actual filling, taking large bites out of both dry waffles at a time. How do I communicate to him that he's doing this wrong, or is it weird that I find this weird? And that's from Whacked Out by Waffle Weirdness.
When we started this show,
did you think it would turn into a internet forum for us to learn about all of the different types of perverts that there are in the world? Because I didn't think it would be that, but that's certainly where we are.
I don't think I'm into this. I've done exactly this. I enjoy, if I'm going to make a toaster waffle, I just want to wrap it in a paper towel and go to town. I don't want a bunch of accoutrement.
Here's what it is, Justin. I felt this way as well, which is I think the brother in question here has recognized, like, I'm not having a gourmet dinner. I am getting two frozen toaster waffles because if I don't eat, I'll die. And this is function more than form. I just need to consume this food as quickly as possible so I can continue on with my day so that I don't get cranky around 11:30.
Now, I want to hit you with this, Griffin, because you were sort of turning your nose up at this. Does it change the math at all for you? I don't eat plain waffles. If I'm going to eat a toaster waffle, I like them with some fixins. So right now I've got Spider-Man waffles, and they have blue and red berries in them, and they're shaped
and
like webs.
And full of spiders, just like lots of spiders.
One bite, spiders in your mouth. It's fantastic.
In every bite, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. So does that change it for you? If it's like a sweet treat with berries in it to just eat it dry, does that bother you?
I wasn't imagining just like a flax fucking plain flavorless waffle. I tell you what freaks me out. It's the combination of no accoutrement, no syrups, no peanut butters or jellies or jams or butters, and also eating them two at a time. Like, to quote this amazing turn of phrase from the question, sandwich slices. I just like that doing both to me, eating it like it's a sandwich with nothing in the middle. Is ludicrous to me. It's beyond the pale. I cannot forgive it or get over it.
What if I told you that this brother Griffin was an EMT who had to get out there and save lives and doesn't have time to put butter on the waffle and syrup and enjoy it like you they're out there saving lives.
If you're going to eat two waffles and you could eat them both in a time it takes you to eat one through stacking technology, it seems irresponsible not to.
Yes.
I mean, you're fucking, but now you're on some like bullshit Silicon Valley stuff of just like, you don't got time to eat. You got to program Facebook too. So here's a protein slurry that we can shoot into your mouth with a big gun. Like, no, you got to take time and enjoy your life. You're an EMT. That's fine. Get out there and save lives. But save your own life first, because what's life worth living if you don't eat your waffles one at a fucking time with
but
the
syrup there
and stuff?
Aren't there some days where if a scientist like knocked on your door and said, eat this pill and you won't need to eat for the next 24 hours and you'll get all the nutrients you need and you'll feel totally full and satisfied and you'll like be able to like really focus on getting shit
what
done today.
What the fuck?
Not every day. Every day.
Eating's the best. Eating's my favorite.
I saw that in an episode of Garfield when we went to the future and everybody was eating food pills.
And what was the lesson he learned? Because I bet he was like, what about my lasagna?
That's what he was like. He's like, fuck this. I'm going back to the past. And see? It was the first time that the F word was used on TV. And it was very... Yeah.
Unscripted. It was live.
Griffin, you have to remember, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember this. I grew up in a house like where I once watched my dad eat a Pop-Tart with butter on it. Like, he put butter on a Pop-Tart. So it's like very hard to sort of trip me out with bread. Breakfast methodology.
I guess it's just slow down, y'all. You only get one go. Put some syrup on some shit. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say. We get one go. YOLO. Syrup your shit up.
What if it was a syrup sandwich?
What is that? What have you just said?
Two waffles, syrup in the middle, squish it together, syrup sandwich.
It's gonna be a mess, but it's better than nothing.
What if I don't actually do that much. Butter.
I don't do that much syrup on my shit anymore, actually. I'm more of a peanut butter and jam kind of man, because one time, it was just when we had gotten Cecil, our cat, I put some syrup on a waffle and it slipped off my plate and landed on the cat syrup side down.
Sticky kitty.
That cat fucking hates my guts still. And it's because of that. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. What a shitty day.
Waffles are kind of bullshit. The first time the inventor of the waffle, Ed Waffle, invented it, the first time he tried to spread butter on it, he should have gone back to the fucking drawing board and just said, like, this didn't work out. I just tried it, and this didn't work.
You guys, are you ready? Are you ready for my new invention that I've just come up with? Waffle iron, smooth on one side for the butter, waffled on the other for the syrup.
Oh my God. It's just like, choose your own adventure. That's so good, Trav. Spread the butter onto the flat side, and then you flip it and dip it, and then you fill every one of those crannies with that golden juice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is good, Travis. Wow, that's good. Name it so you can TM it real quick.
Falafel.
Okay,
no. Well,
it's a flat waffle.
No, you fucked up.
Damn it.
Breakfast friend.
The name of the tool is the breakfast friend.
A little general. Like, if I buy something called a breakfast friend and it does this one thing, it's not a great friend. It's just sort of like a very single-minded friend.
Future waffle love sounds.
Yep.
Travis McElroy presents Waffle Friend.
A Travis McElroy joint.
So what about Waffle Box the Pancake Below?
Yes. Yeah, Waffle Box the Pancake Below is really, really good.
Okay.
Spider-Man waffles.
Those are used.
Groot waffles. I am Groot waffles. Everybody loves that little guy.
Groffles.
Janine Garofalos. And it comes Garofalo's with a cereal, like Cheerios, and that's the O's that you pour on top.
Why didn't Janine Garofalo ever get her own cereal?
It's not too late.
Janine Garofalo's Tasty Waffalos, and it's just like it's waffle-flavored Cheerios.
Can we call him Mark Garofalo's?
She's just wearing a chef's outfit.
Hi, I'm Mark Garofalo, and this is my partner, Janine Garofalo, and we want to present to you Garofalo and Garofalo's Waffalos.
Coming this fall, look forward to it. It's my new potato chip brand, and it is just called Ruffalo's. It's not as good.
I came up with it early, and I'm in debt.
Me and Janine have been talking about it. I think that's all the jokes.
We're going to have to fund these new inventions somehow, so let's take a trip on down to the money zone.
I would like to tell y'all about our sponsor this week. One of them, Squarespace. I have on Squarespace right now, I think 4 or 5 different websites I've set up there. It's so easy and convenient. Just started a new project with my friends here in Cincinnati where we're doing like a puzzle bar crawl where you move from bar to bar and get different puzzles to tell you the next place to go.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and I set up a website on Squarespace with the registration. You can pay the registration fee through there, find all the information. I even was able to set up puzzles where you have to enter the answer to get to the next page. It's really cool and it's so user friendly and their support is amazing. You have 24/7 customer support. There's nothing to install, patch, upgrade ever. It's just amazing, award-winning templates and an all-in-one platform. I highly recommend. You can also get your domains right through Squarespace. So it's an all-in-one experience. And for a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, you can visit squarespace.com/mybrother. That's squarespace.com/mybrother. Go check it out. I'm a huge fan.
I also want to say I went to roundzone.com once to try to get a website. Gave my computer a big virus.
You may not spend a lot of time thinking about your taint, but your taint knows you so well. You know why? Because you take the time to give it the very best when you go to MeUndies. MeUndies is sustainably sourced and made from micromodal. It's a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton, which your taint certainly appreciates.
You know, all right, I'm going to put a limit. Four more times.
You can try MeUndies today, and you should. Go get the Celebrate pattern before they're all gone at MeUndies.com/mybrother. I should mention, the Celebrate pattern, it looks like confetti, and it's fun. It's real fun.
Yeah. It's fun!
If you go to that address I gave you, MeUndies.com/mybrother, you'll save 20% off your first pair. So that makes affordable undies even more so. You can get 20% off your first pair plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/mybrother right now. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother.
I'm wearing those, I don't know if y'all are down on this experience, those MeUndies lounge pants right now. Fuck me. It's just like a big pair of MeUndies that are pants also.
And I gotta get into those.
They're real good. Hey, can I tell you about Wink?
Please
yes.
do.
Yes.
I'm going to do it real quick. Did you hear that? That was the sound of my, that's the sound I make when I wink.
And oh, God.
Yeah, they say to do it.
Oh. Huh.
Do that.
Go to a doctor.
Formerly, you may know this project formerly as Club W. It gives you access to exceptional wines from around the world. They base the wines that they send you on your taste preferences and will introduce you to new custom wines that are not available anywhere else. We've gotten a few bottles from them before, and I'm not like a huge wine drinker. I enjoy drinking wine. I just like don't know how to get good stuff. Like I don't know what is good because I'm a child. But all the stuff they sent has been like really, really great. You can join for free, skip any month of deliveries that you want, and cancel any time. And they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you never pay for a bottle you don't like. You can just go to trywink.com, and that is spelled TRYWINC. It's Wink with a C, .com, and take a brief palate profile quiz, and Wink will recommend wines customized to your palate to be shipped directly to your door every month. And right now, they're offering listeners $20 off your first order when you go to trywink.com/mybrother. They'll even cover the cost of shipping. That's TryWink, again, TRYWINC.com/mybrother to get $20 off your first order now, plus complimentary shipping. TryWink.com/mybrother.
We got some personal messages here. First is for GeeklyCon. It's a weekend-long gathering of friends who love podcasts, tabletop gaming, video games. I like those things. And generally having fun. In 2017, GeeklyCon will be in St. Louis from July 20th to the 23rd.
Geek me in St. Louis. It's a little joke.
A little. GeeklyCon yeah. is an open-minded and welcoming group. And we invite you to come and meet your new best friends. Now, tickets are selling fast, so you're going to want to go to geeklycon.com to order one before they are sold out. This will be a great event, and I think everybody should go. Michael, one of the guy who's done so much web design for us over the years, puts it on, and he's a real sweetheart. So you should go check it totally out, geeklycon.com.
I have a personal message here, and it's for Adam. Happy birthday to my favorite husband. and it's from Tabitha, your favorite wife. This is the first time I think anybody using a Jumbotron has ever snuck a secret message into the name field. Mm. It's like that great 1-800-COLLECT commercial where the guy's like, "We oughta baby, it's a boy." You remember that one?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, God, why do I remember that?
"We oughta baby, it's a boy."
I can't
really
remember
funny.
My wife's phone number, but I can remember that commercial. What's
same,
wrong with
dude,
me?
Dude, same.
It's so funny.
Anyway, Adam, Tabitha has this message for you. "Thanks for sticking with me through all my podcast obsessions and even joining me in some. I couldn't think of anything better to have the brothers wish you a great year. You're always supportive and kind, even with a grumpy, that's just my face, and a sigh, winky emoticon." It's the sound it makes again. I'm sorry. "P.S. I'm buying this on my B-Day since they opened 2017 today. Now that's love." What a love. What an exceptional love. Buying somebody a birthday present on your dang birthday. That is such an amount of foresight that I cannot even comprehend.
I do it every year.
"We oughta baby, it's a boy."
So good.
I'm so glad we can bring that great gag to a new generation.
Hello, Amita Patel.
Hello, Sean David Johnson. What's going on?
I think a friend of mine may have chronic pop culture deficiency syndrome.
Oh no, PCDS? What are the symptoms?
Well, she doesn't know Wakanda from Westeros.
Shameful.
And she keeps confusing Aziz Ansari and Riz Ahmed.
Oh my gosh, so sad. Kind of racist too, but what did you tell her to do?
I told her to listen to our podcast, Inside Pop, of course.
Fantastic idea. A weekly dose of Inside Pop will help anyone discover the best in TV, film, and music.
Suffer from PCDS no more.
Inside Pop has you covered every Wednesday on Max Fun.
How about a Yahoo?
Please.
This one was sent in by Level 9000 Yahoo Juju Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's from Yahoo Answers user Max Tyler.
Sometimes I can sense a smile in you when you begin to read these, and I always get very excited.
They're just really good. In a war between centaurs... Why did I say it like that?
I figured it was misspelled and you were giving the person
centaurs.
Shit. Centaurs.
You're saying them centaurs and unicorns.
In a war between centaurs and men on horses, who would win? By the way, it would be in a fantasy world with swords, spears, bows, and arrows and such like. Thanks in advance. This question is fucking on point.
Okay, I'm not going to just start. Let's not do the thing we always do where we just start running our fucking mouths before we actually think about it. We're going to take, I'm sorry, listener, perhaps you have a 15-second skip button on your player. Let's give ourselves 15 seconds to just fucking think about this for a second.
I have a bit of filler for the audience to think about while we think about it. Do you think the first time a centaur sees a person on horseback get off the horse, they just start screaming in terror?
That would be very scary. All right, okay. Just shut your fucking gob and think about this.
Okay, think about it. Ready, go.
I got my answer.
Okay, I think I'm ready.
I'm ready too.
3, 2, 1. Men on horses.
Yeah. Okay.
And here's how I came to this conclusion. Centaurs, mm-hmm, is one big beautiful beast, and don't get me wrong, big beautiful beast, love it. And there's certainly a thing you can put in the pro column of just like full synthesis, full unity,
integration.
You're gonna have there's going to be even the most beautiful domesticated horse with the most beautiful like connection with a jockey, even if they're in the fucking drift together, there's gonna be
Petted them every time they've turned left or stopped for you at the right time. You know what I mean? All the hearts exploded around their heads.
There's a break point there of just how good that relationship can be. There's a loss of control there somewhere. But the thing I just can't get over, mm-hmm, is centaurs have one hit point and a man and a horse have two.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it's hard to deny that if you take out a centaur's legs, then it's done. If you take out the man on horseback's legs, he's got another sort of methodology he can employ.
Thinking of spears, right? You throw a spear through a centaur, mm-hmm, you've hit the centaur. You would have to throw that spear really good to get it through dude and horse. You know what
now,
I mean?
Now, here's the question, though, Griffin. In that case, if the centaur takes out person, is the horse like, "I'm going to keep fighting"? Or is the horse like, "Thank God, bye"?
Wow, this is actually a fucking great point, because this is what I'm... This gets back to that animal rider synthesis. If the man is killed, does horse continue the fight? I think that takes a special kind of horse. So like a really just a murder sea biscuit, a murder biscuit, if you will. That
what is
like,
the horse gonna do? Like, Daryl's down. I guess I'll go eat all their oats so they won't have any for later.
Well, I'm gonna burn their homes. Whoa, horse.
What you just said is racist. Up. That centaurs would eat oats. No. Actually, you know, it's not because I eat oats sometimes.
Yeah,
in
thank you.
Form.
Yeah, okay, everybody likes oats except for me, who only eats beans. Now, if the horse ate all my beans, then we'd have a fucking issue.
Yeah, you'd have a real problem. This is a fucking good point. I think this might change the equation a little bit. Because if you get a centaur in the horse meat, then I think they might be able to keep going a little bit, right? If you get a man, there's very little meat I have that if attacked with a big spear, I could keep the fire. You know what I mean? But a centaur, there's a lot of extra stuff on there. Shit. Because if you take me out, my horse is done. My horse isn't going to do anything to a centaur.
Yeah. And also, you do have to get into the question of where the centaur is keeping their vital organs. Because
I have no idea.
If it's all in the human section, then you could just keep taking arrows to the horse meat and like brush it off. Your horse takes one arrow. He's going to be like, actually, I thought about it. Fuck all you guys. I'm actually leaving. Goodbye. I'm sorry. I know we're two souls intertwined in the most magical relationship possible, but I actually am going to go ahead and dip because this sucks.
This sucks. I'm out of here. Here's a Yahoo Answers user, Robin, whose profile image is just the word Irish, says, centaurs would win because they can use the bow and arrows better than humans can. That's if there was a real war between centaurs versus human, they would all be dead. Oof. Think about the fact that centaurs would be better with the bow and arrows.
You cannot bring in those facts. We do not know what kind of training anybody has in this. That has to be a zero something.
Is there something about the integration of human and horse that makes them inherently better at archery? I'm confused. I know that like lore-wise, centaurs are amazing archers, but I'm talking like, we're talking about a real war here. You know what I mean? Not some fantasy war.
We're talking about real centaurs, okay?
Yeah.
I think I've changed my
days
answer.
Of old.
Okay, wait a minute. We're talking about a war. Not a battle, not a skirmish, a war. You cannot, like, look at the Civil War, right? Mm-hmm. Look at how important, like, predicting troop movement was in that war. And it led to several lopsided battles and sort of predicting where the enemy was going to be. I'm sure that's true for any war. I've just read more books about the Civil War. So if you can assume that centaurs are going to be more mobile and going to be able to sort of be in other places like faster than the humans, then like in terms of like troop formation and sort of moving your resources around, the centaurs might actually have an advantage there.
Justin, but speaking of resources, you only got to feed a centaur once.
Yes, exactly. You got to feed a dude and a horse separately. That's double the food. Fuck.
Okay.
And centaurs are probably just eating apples. So.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah. And like terrain, I was going to say something about terrain being an issue for a centaur, but like you've got to bring your horses. So it's like can't be, that's equal. But there is the issue. Now, okay, you do have to imagine, though, that the caloric load of a centaur.
It's tremendous.
It's tremendous. I mean, it's not going to be one-to-one, but there are certainly some efficiencies
there. Strike it from the pro list. It's gone. It's gone. Is there something to be said about the styles of combat that humans beings have that centaurs do not have, right? Like centaurs, essentially, it's all cavalry, no infantry. And so, the human beings dismount the horses and you put those like poles to the spikes on the ground sticking out towards the horses. You could build a centaur barricade pretty well, I feel like. Another thing is that centaurs, very little stealth capabilities, I feel like. Very little guerrilla combat available to them. You go into a woods and they're playing in an ambush and all you hear is like, clop, 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 clop. You're like, there's fucking centaurs here. Everybody stay frosty.
let's just open up the big book that nobody is willing to look at, but I'm going to pull it off the shelf, blow the dust off, and it's a big book labeled Espionage. And that's going to be extremely difficult for a human, but feasible. If you got the right costume, you could maybe pull it off. If you're a centaur double agent, no one is fooled. There's just
you just drape some fucking jeans around your torso, and it'll be like, that's a weird way to ride a horse. Like, don't you judge me, me and this animal. Where's your horse's head? Don't worry about it. It's in the jeans with me.
And Justin, I'm sorry, but I'll tell you who's fooled. A horse.
Yep.
The human might not be, but the horse is like, hey, I'm going to come hang out with you guys here. You're all horses. What's that? Tranquilizer, tranquilizer, tranquilizer. Let's go. Right? Yeah. And you're in there. Also, here's the thing. We can't separate. I don't think it's fair in this discussion to talk about human separate from horse versus centaur. Because, like, that's not the question. It's person on
that
horse.
That has to be a war. That's the only fucking thing we got going for us in this fight. You want to tie a hand behind our back? No way.
It's a plus and a minus.
Then you could say, well, but then the centaurs are going to partner with some fairies and shit, and like, then they're in there.
No, come on. You're confusing this fucking conversation for no reason. My ability to get off a horse is the only thing separating me from centaurs. This ability has to factor in.
And their connection, their deep connection, is the advantage over us. It's the one defining factor.
Right.
Now, I will grant Travis that I think that allowing for humans to like sort of build traps and what have you,
that's it,
is against the spirit. I think it's against the spirit of the question. I think the assumption has to be anytime these two are fighting, it is definitely
whose side are you on in this thing? Because it sounds like you're like anti-human now.
I'm just torn about it, Griffin, because the thing is, if they do separate and can separate, it also lends the centaurs an advantage, because if they get the drop on the humans, it could be a massacre. I mean,
I could fuck up a centaur right
now.
I'm not afraid.
This is fucked up. Can we agree? Like, I think what we have to all accept now is the ultimate is a person centaur team up.
Whoa, versus, hold on.
Right?
Whoa, I did not expect this West Side Story.
This
bullshit.
Is a love story that blossoms.
But
here.
Imagine that. Think about riding a horse and being able to like. Also strategize with them and like be like,
God.
You go left, I'll go right. You pick me back up. And then we're going to like,
I have a very short list of people in my life where if I was a centaur, I would be okay with them riding me. It's very short. And boys, I don't know if you're on it. It's like really short.
Give me a bit more time on this low carb diet. We'll see. It may be a little.
It's
bit
not
more
a weight
palatable.
Thing. It's not a weight thing. It's not a weight thing. Because okay. First of all, if I was a centaur, I would have the most beautiful, strong, proud back, and I can carry anybody.
Why it's do you not think that your centaur form would be a reflection of your current uber fragile, no hot food allowed human state? I don't see why you're granting yourself stomach
big,
acid all of a
big,
sudden.
Big, beautiful, proud, strong back I can carry anybody. It is not a... it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with my pride, I guess.
You never
who
just
would
see,
you?
Like...
Wait, who would you? Well, who's at the top of your list? Who's number one? Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, it was in our vows, and you guys were at the wedding, so you know Rachel. I mean, my son, but after... I mean, it's dangerous up there. Big, strong back, and he can't really sit up so good yet, so...
I'm going to say Joe Biden's at the top of mine.
Joe Biden's up there for me, too. I mean, that goes without saying, just because I think he probably does have some sort of equestrian experience.
And he'll call himself Joe Ryden, which is like, oh,
God,
Joe.
Yes. Oh, so good. Now, are we assuming that the first time they meet, there is no period in which the centaurs are sort of swept up, or sorry, the humans are sort of swept up in the majesty and beauty of seeing centaurs for real?
We're going to lose a lot of humans just from that sort of shock factor.
Oh, see, I think the opposite. I think humans, what we know about humans in, you know, now is like the immediate distrust of like, no, we're just going to go ahead and just start the war. I think humans start the war. I think
there's no reality.
Definitely start the war. Yeah.
The humans will be more upset by the sort of like fear of the outsider here than centaurs are going to be about the blasphemy of humans riding horses. That will disgust them.
And here's a factor we've never considered in this argument yet. What makes us think this war gets going? This war is popping off. What makes us think that the horses are going to stay on our fucking side?
Oh, fuck. You're right.
I think that's the deciding factor here. I think maybe they'll stick with us for a while, right? Just because it's what they know. We give them sugar cubes. But after a minute, they see this other way of living, and they're like, hey, you know what? You keep me in a big jail and feed me sugar cubes only. Bye.
If that happens, we're fucked. Like,
we're done. And the only way to like get a grasp on that situation is to tighten the grip. And I'm fucking uncomfortable with that. Like, I don't want to win like that.
No, Griffin. I think we need to build more trust with our horses. Now.
We've got to promise them liberty. We've got to promise them freedom if they help us win this war.
Well, this is why...
Is this like the beginning of a Planet of the Apes movie where like us working with horses is what leads to centaurs and then we have to fight our own, like, that's the future, the centaurs?
Okay, Travis, are you suggesting, and I think you are, and I'm just going to pretend you are if you aren't, are you suggesting that over, like, this war takes quite a while and in an underground bunker, hidden from the eyes of centaur and more faithful humans alike, scientists decide that we have to, the only recourse is to breed our own race of centaurs in the exact way that you think that would happen.
Yes, and then we send them back to start to like fight the war for us at the beginning. This is like a Terminator situation.
Boys, I'm thinking about those early centaurs. Oh, there's gonna be some whoopsies in there, huh?
Oh, wait a minute.
It's just a fucking horse body, four hooves, and then just like at the armpits, it starts right at the end of the top hooves, and the dude's arms and head just hanging down like, oh yes, oats me, dog.
Can you imagine a centaur with horse body, horse neck, human head? No torso, just human head on horse neck.
Imagine horse body, no neck or head, but then the human torso and arms and human head are coming out of the side of the horse body.
He's just always
stunting off the side.
This is true. Centaurs are always seen with like upright, you know, spine from where the neck would be. What if it's just straight out continuation, just flat looking downward?
Travis, I'm going to go with your plan. We send the centaurs back in time to begin the war, but we send them back too far. And what do they do? They continue to breed. And then what do we find out? That's right. The centaurs that we're fighting in present day are the descendants of the centaurs that we ourselves invented and
when
sent back in
learn?
Time.
It was our own hubris.
Someone needs to stop us.
We need to stop making mix-ups in God's Chipotle and just kind of accept what we have on Earth. Stop throwing the beans and rice around in the good Lord's Chipotle and just kind of be satisfied with what we get.
Appreciate every day. Every day is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
Maybe the centaurs deserve to win.
I think the centaurs deserve to win. I think it's time to give someone else a shot. We've already screwed this pooch. I think it's time to give somebody else a chance at running things. I'm talking about these centaurs. I cannot stop thinking about a side saddle centaur. That is the most grisly life I could ever envision.
Horse head, human body.
Yeah, I mean,
good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. Yeah, you never really think about that. Like, the perfect blend probably took quite a few generations of experimentation. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. That's going to do it for us.
Oh, shit, that was like 25 minutes of horse talk.
Daisy. That's our whole episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion because it was half the show. And the ones before it also were there. Hey, listen, I'm going to be doing Sawbones live in Philadelphia, and I would really like it. It's going to be this coming weekend, I guess, by the time you listen to this. If you could come out and
check that
is going to be Sunday, and you can get tickets.
The 16th or the 9th? Because this is coming out on the 10th.
Yeah, it's the 16th, Sunday the 16th.
Okay.
It's going to be at 2 p.m. at the Trocadero Theater. Tickets are like $24.50, I think, Sunday, July 16th. As part of the Philly Podcast Festival, Sawbones is going to be live, and you can get tickets at bit.ly/SawbonesPhilly. Come out and say hi. It should be fun. It's in the middle of the afternoon. It's an all-ages show. No swearing, to the best of our ability. And Flophouse is going to be there too. So get tickets to see them and come out and see me.
We are also, of course, doing our live shows at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in just a couple weeks. So if you have questions for the My Brother and Me show, make sure to send them in with the subject SDCC live show. And maybe we'll see you there as we're walking around and stuff.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, which is a song off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a very, very good song, very good album. We're very grateful are able to use it here on this show. I also want to thank Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there, like Stop Podcasting Yourself and Lady to Lady and Dead Pilot Society and One Bad Mother and all the great shows there. We also do a bunch of other podcasts and video stuff that you can find at McElroyShows.com. That it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to do it.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Zoe Kinski. Riding high, Zoe Kinski. It's from Yahoo Answers user Christian, who asks, is Minecraft based on a true story?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
How many times has this happened to you?
Oh man, if only I knew whether it was better to be too hot or too cold, or who the best James Bond was, that girl would have gone out with me.
Now you can with We Got This with Mark and Hal, the podcast from MaximumFun.org every Tuesday.
Hey, Lois, it's Joey. The best James Bond was Daniel Craig, and it's better to be too cold than too hot. Thanks, We Got This with Mark and Hal.
Only on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get fine podcasts.